if we recognize that we all, at some level, have guilt before God, we want to be honest. We're in church, yeah? We all have that. So how do we actually get rid of guilt? Because that's part of the question, isn't it? In Romans times, when someone was put in prison, their list of crimes was put on a certificate and literally nailed to the door. It was called a certificate of debt. And every single person, we all know, we're born with that sense of debt to God. It's called sin. It's just going our own way. It's the property laws of the toddler, but in a spiritual element. And we tend to try one of three things to get rid of sometimes those negative feelings that we have, rather than deal with the legal bit of it. We try to justify ourselves. And sometimes we can do that through comparison. That's what the story did of the Pharisee and the tax collector, isn't it? He compared himself and he said, I'm better than you. Read the story in the scripture. I fast twice a week. I give. I do all these things. I'm better than you. Or sometimes for us, we say things like, well, I might be bad, but at least I don't do. Yeah? And we fill in the blank with something that we deem someone else has done worse, so we end up feeling better about ourselves. But it doesn't work. It doesn't balance up. That's the story in Luke 18. The second thing that we try and do is good works. Maybe the strategy we try to kind of get right with God is, well, if I do enough good, if I kind of follow the scouts, you know, help old ladies across the road and, you know, make cakes or do all those things that were nice. As long as I don't do the big sins, then maybe everything will balance out and, you know, God's going to let me into heaven. But even good things don't balance that equation up. And there are good things. We should be hospitable. We should serve one another. We should, as followers of Jesus Christ, read the Bible. We should give. We should pray regularly. All of those things are good. And in the Bible, they're called the works of the law. But here's what the Bible actually says about that. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. That's how clear it is. It doesn't matter what we do in order to try and earn, because we don't have to. We have to accept the free gift of God's grace. Sometimes we try and think by good works. Sometimes the kind of last one that we do is justification by religious background. Some people say, well, my family was brought up in church. In Northern Ireland, they have this strange thing. My mother generally didn't go to church, but we were officially Presbyterians. We were officially part of that church denomination. And so every year she would get an envelope through the door where she had to give her yearly subscription. And you know why she did that? So that when she died, the Presbyterian church would bury her. But it doesn't matter about giving into subscriptions. It doesn't even matter that we may say the Lord's Prayer or do good things. It doesn't matter about religious background, because Jesus actually spoke to some religious leaders and they were saying, listen, we're Abraham's children. We are the elite. We are the ninjas of the religious world. We are the SAS. We are the guys. And Jesus said, listen, I can make out of these stones children of Abraham. It doesn't matter what you think your heritage is. It doesn't matter whether your family have been good Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, whatever it is. Those things don't matter to God. He's not interested in them. In fact, one of the early church leaders, Paul, at one stage put his trust in his religious background. And this is what he said. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I've circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. He was one of those religious people. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness was found in the law, blameless. And yet Paul came to a startling conclusion that apart from Christ, all our religious backgrounds mean nothing. It's not our religious backgrounds or our church affiliations or whether we've been christened or any of those things. None of those things matter to God. Paul came to realize this, and he said it a little bit later on. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And the words that he uses for rubbish or the things of loss, it's not a very nice word. In fact, our translators have kind of chickened out of translating the word because it's the sort of stuff Rose might step in when she's taking Daisy for a walk. Or it's the stuff that Daisy rolls in when the foxes have been out. Yeah. It's that stuff that is the impression of the Irish dancing. I can smell something. What is it? That's how you do river dance, by the way. I can smell dog. That's the word that's used. Not a very nice word. And he says, do you know what? All your religious background and all your own righteousness, that's what it's like before God. See, that's why we need God's grace. So God does have a remedy for guilt. And he says it. We celebrated it recently. When you were dead in your transgressions, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, you can read it in another version later. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt. Remember that? It was nailed to the door of a prisoner. Having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he had taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. We celebrated that at Easter. Remember when we talked about he paid it in full? That word, it is finished, the debt has been paid in full. That's exactly what he's talking about. The certificate of debt has been paid in full. How could Jesus' cross, death on the cross, cancel out that certificate of debt? How could it resolve the legal aspect of guilt before God? Well, normally a Roman criminal would have to pay for their own debts, either by paying a fine or by time allotted in prison. But technically, they could get a substitute to do that for them. I don't see that happening today in England, huh? I'll pay you if you do my prison time for me. But in Roman law, you could get a substitute, and if they were willing, they would either pay your fine or take your place in prison. And the Bible says that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's exactly the potential that we have, that God brought us back, brings us back into relationship with himself, dealing with all the guilt that we have, all the rebellion, all the independence, all the stuff that is a barrier between us and God. Jesus died on the cross. But the thing about grace, it's like any gift. You don't have to accept it. It's a gift which you have to receive. Paul says, for you've been saved not by your own works, but by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. Now, if Kerry comes and offers you that box of M&Ms, how many of you are going to refuse it? I know Ian won't. Don, would you refuse that box of Skittles? No, you wouldn't. Because you know it's a gift, but you have to take it into your own hands. The best a human court can do is declare you not guilty. But actually, God's grace goes further than that. It declares you innocent. And even better than that, it actually declares you righteous. Do you know that? The Bible term for that, it's a technical term. It's called justification. It's what we read Romans 5 earlier. We've been justified by faith in Christ. And lots of Christians have had this little acronym or this little saying to try and understand it. It's just as if I've never sinned. It's more than that. It's more than just as if you've never sinned. It literally means you are declared righteous. You will never be more righteous than the moment you accept Christ as your own personal Savior. You're declared righteous by God. That's the gift of God's grace. You can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's God's grace. That's what he says. All of our sin, all of our debt is nailed to the cross. And we can receive that forgiveness. Our guilt can be gone forever. Now, none of us live up to God's expectations. But But on the cross, Jesus took our sins. On the cross, the debt is paid in full. On the cross, it's done. So in Jesus Christ, we can stand forgiven. We can have that peace with God. The war is over. That's why Paul, the same writer, said in Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now, no condemnation. If we're in Christ, when God looks at our life, He sees us as righteous. We've been justified. We have to live that out, of course, and that's the challenge, living it out. Living it out, living worthy of the calling we have received. But all of us can go here today, and whether you're watching online as well, you can know God's peace. You can know God's forgiveness. You can experience that today. And if you're online, you can email us and we'll give you some resources to help you with that. But for those of you who are here as well, you can pray a simple prayer that brings you into that relationship, that receives the gift of God's forgiveness. And we'll unpack how we live that out a little bit more on Tuesday night. But the good news that we have, and it is good news, is that we can have new life in Christ because of God's grace. Isn't that an incredible thought? We can receive God's grace. But I want you to do something practical today and this week. There is a handout that's going to be at the back, so one of the welcome team can give you that out. So it's going to come on screen as well, but let me explain what we're going to do. We don't always live according to expectations. God's, our own, or other people's. And sometimes that brings a burden to us. Sometimes that brings legalism. Sometimes that brings us living in a way that's not free, even as followers of Jesus Christ. And one of the things I want you to do, and you'll see it on the handout, it's on the screen for you as well, is I want you to come before God and ask prayerfully, God, are there any false expectations in my life? Are there any areas of my life where I'm not living in your grace? Any expectations that you wrongly believed were from God? Because we can do that, can't we? We can live in expectations that are not of God, which is why Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. That's Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 in the Message version. The unforced rhythms of grace. Do you need that in your life? Maybe you need to deal with some of those wrong expectations from God. Maybe some wrong expectations from your parents and your family. Maybe it was well-meaning, but maybe they placed something on you that God never did, and you need to be free from that. Maybe expectations from teachers, because they're such an authority figure in our life, aren't they? And they're so formative in our younger years. Maybe even expectations from churches and church leaders that we had to behave in a certain way. And maybe that way brought us into legalism or condemnation that wasn't from God. Maybe expectations from employers, maybe other false expectations. So on the back of your sheet, there's a prayer that I encourage you. You can do it today and we're happy to lead you in it before you leave today if that's what you'd like. But also on the sheet, and Philip faithfully puts the PDFs and the stuff on the church app and on the website so you can get this easily or watch it again on YouTube. So there's lots of resources, ways for you to get that. But I encourage you to take that and take that moment and find a space somewhere in your life this week and just pray and begin to find God's grace and God's release from some of those expectations that He hasn't placed on your life. See, it's not just religious talk or wishful thinking. This is the truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We want the freedom of God's grace today.